Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. This week's podcast is brought to you by Show Me Hemp and One Voice for Ag. One Voice for Ag exists to bring agriculture industry associations together and find common ground to speak with one voice for the good of agriculture. On this week's program, we're going to talk with Bill Cook. Bill is with the Missouri Organic Association, as well as One Voice for Ag and Show Me Hemp. So we're going to find out what all that is about on today's program. But first, just a reminder, the Midwest Hemp Council's 2021 Hemp at the Crossroads Conference has been postponed until December 1st through the 3rd. Of 2021. Again, that's December 1st through the 3rd of 2021. But this will allow for an additional half day of conferences, programming, and it'll also extend the early bird discounts through April 15th. So make sure and reserve your spot as soon as possible. You can check out the Midwest Hemp Council website events tab and get more information on that. All right, so let's get started with Bill Cook. Once again, Bill is the president of the Missouri Organic Association. He also founded Nico Seed Farms with his wife, Emily, in Kansas City, Missouri. Bill, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Great weather down here in Kansas City right now.
Hey, you know, it's been a wacky winter, but in the Midwest, I think it's been fairly mild. You know, we got dumped on last week, and then this week, it's looking like spring here, at least here in Indiana. I assume it's the same there in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, we've got nice weather right this minute. We're about almost breaking records on warm, and we definitely were breaking records on cold a week ago.
And I don't think you'll hear anybody complaining about those records breaking with the warm temperatures this week.
Amen.
And Bill, let's see. You've been a lifelong family farmer, and without giving your age, we'll just say that you've been involved in agriculture for more than 50 years. So that's over a half a century of knowledge that you're carrying around there, Bill. I hope we're putting all that to good use.
Well, I like to say it's a half a century of making mistakes and learning what not to do next time.
Isn't that what experience is all about, what not to do? I mean, you remember when you get burned.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. Yeah, we have been in one location, with our business here. This year will be 50 years in one spot we've been in business.
Wow, that is amazing. In this day and age, when people jump around from job to job, and to be doing the same thing or be involved in the same industry for over 50 years is certainly an achievement. And you've been, you're known as the patriarch of new generation business in Missouri when it comes to identity preserved grains. So let's unwrap that for a minute. Tell me what identity preserved grains is all about.
Well, we call it IP grain, and then basically all of our lives we've been not raising commodity crops, whether it was popcorn, whether it was seed corn, soybeans, food grade soybeans, everything. And IP is identity preserved product. That means it's a specific product that goes to a specific market for a specific use.
Okay.
And so we've always tried to get a value out of our crops and try to put groups together that would deliver value to markets that they needed that product.
Okay, so strength in numbers, is that what we're going for there, quantity?
It depends. It depends. And it depends on what the market is asking. If you're raising, and like today, if you're raising organic crops, it's not necessarily about volume. Mm. It's more about quality, and it's more about specific things for those specific markets. And that's what's going on in this CBD market and in some of this hemp thing, some of these really new commodities, which we're really excited about.
Well, and that's a great lead-in for us, Bill. So let's take that and run with it. When did you get? So you've been involved in the ag industry for over 50 years. Of course, you've heard about hemp, of course, during that period of time. But then it became a reality here in the last few years. When did you get involved, and why did you get involved?
Well, honestly, we've always looked at the marketplace and tried to figure out what value the end consumer wanted, where the value was. And as we looked about 18 months ago, about three years ago, we started looking at the hemp industry. And, of course, the 2018 Farm Bill came along, and it started making the industry legal to do certain things. And so we started looking at the values of the hemp plant. Mm-hmm. And the hemp plant is just, it's a miracle plant. So what got us excited about hemp is it is a product that's raised worldwide, and it's one of these plants that it really is good for the environment. And one of our issues as we move forward is as agriculture and as farmers and people that are your stewards of the ground, our soil health, our environment is something that, you know, it's precious to us because it's our resources, the way we make our living. Mm-hmm. So I got excited about, it's almost a revitalization of rural communities by having these hemp plants, and they're unrestricted. So that means no disrespect on a lot of the large companies that do great things, but it's not encumbered by big corporate America yet. So it gives you a lot of entrepreneur opportunities to go out there and really do well as soon as you can figure the industry out.
So did you see an air of excitement among the your farmer friends out there when hemp first hit the horizon, or was there a lot of skepticism?
You always have three kinds of folks out here. And you got the people that'll try things, and then you got the people watch what people try, and then you got people to make fun of everything that people do. So honestly, the ones that are excited got pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of interest on people just watching and saying, hey, you know, we don't know if that's really real yet. We're not ready to stick our toe in the water, but they're paying attention. Mm-hmm. And that's where the industry is right now. It's just working through a lot of issues, and but it'll get through those issues. And to me, it does play a vital role in everything we do, whether it's wood, concrete, clothes. CBD is really, I've been on CBD for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind telling you, I'm a 75-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. And in about 2008, I mean, I had rheumatoid arthritis. I had all kinds of issues. My hemp has really been a blessing to me as far as the CBD crop. So I'm not a commercial here for hemp, but I will tell you it is a really something that everybody ought to take a really hard look at.
The excitement level now, 2 to 3 years removed, is it still there? Is there more excitement now? Is there more skepticism now?
Definitely more skepticism. It's like anything that people get excited about, and a lot of people went in and unprepared. Mm-hmm. And not knowing the crop, not having the market. And the one thing for your listeners, I would share is make sure you got good partners in it. Make sure you got a place to sell your product. Take it slow and easy. Don't lunge into this thing. And it is it's hurt some people. And that's because the system is weak. And again, you know, it's not legal as far as a national crop. It's done that through states. But until we get federal crop insurance, till we get some other things that other commodities do, it's a pretty high-risk venture because you can't borrow money from a local bank from it very easily. So it's got a lot of hurdles to get through. But in our opinion, the excitement level for those that are wanting to learn and be prepared when a lot of the things happen, and I think a lot of it will happen in the new Farm Bill, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But, I think there's some cool things that's going to be really good for the industry and hemp. But there is there's skepticism right now, and there's been some folks that's got beat up pretty bad by this, just not knowing what they were doing.
Well, and of course, it's not a matter of just going out there and popping some seeds into the ground or buying some clones and popping them in and sitting back and watching. There's a lot of work involved. There's also a lot of education involved. And a lot of the people that, like you, that are involved in the hemp industry are jumping over to that education side. It's just kind of a natural calling to help people out, I think. So that brings us to Show Me Hemp and One Voice for Ag, two organizations you're involved with. Show Me Hemp has has a conference coming up with the Mid-American Organic Association March 1st through the 3rd. So that's coming up next week. Tell us what that's about and how people can gain some knowledge and information from that.
Well, we have been doing, I've been involved in the organic side. I've been involved in the non-GMO and the organic side now for about 12 years. And we've just seen the some of the issues where people want to generally have more income and not have so many constrictions on certain types of seeds and things they bought. So we've been involved in this thing for about 12 years now. And in the organic side for the next probably 3 or 4 years. So what goes on, I think this is the 13th year for this this conference.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, saying that, what's happened is we're really important that the organic community, the non-GMO community, the hemp community come together to start speaking with one voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why One Voice got started. And so we're going to have our first One Voice, actually the two groups, which is the organic folks and also the folks that are in the hemp industry. There are several organizations and associations that are coming together with one voice. Midwest Hemp, Illinois, Texas, all of these different hemp associations with membership, we're all starting to think in terms of what we can effectively make important words shared with the people that make the decisions, because a lot of those folks are just unaware of, you know, a lot of facts. So our job as One Voice is to come together with One Voice and share what's good for the industry and what's good for rural communities and what's good for the consumer. So all of those together make up our mission, and that is to come together with the goals of all of us communicating those important waterline issues to our state and federal representatives. And this year we have our one voice. We have a legislative piece where all of our legislators come in and they listen to our key speakers, and our key speakers are all from all over the Midwest, all over the country. We've got folks from Texas, Minnesota, everywhere on that One Voice for Ag communication piece. And we've got all of our state reps and our senators sitting there and listening to it, being able to ask questions on how this works in other states.
And your legislators in Missouri, they're showing up for these conferences?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have our ag committees, and yeah, we have, we're getting really good listening. And this is the challenge. One of my legislators tell me, and this was, it's just disheartening, but it happens this way. We sometimes our commodity groups kind of get into, discussions, and those discussions aren't necessarily totally relevant. And one of my legislators came to me and said, "Say, you know, I'm visiting with this commodity group, and he said, you know, you guys don't work together very well."
Mm.
And so that instilled even more of the importance that we have as what do we all agree upon?
Mm-hmm.
What do we think is important? And instead of letting these little 5, 10, 15, 20% things that we may not agree with it, we really need to focus and let our legislators and people that make rules and regulations, we need to let them know that's what is important for rural communities. And mm-hmm. And actually, this thing is not just rural communities. It fits in inner city. It fits in
sure.
urban. And, you know, when you look at it, we're all kind of in this thing all together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So is this the first year that Show Me Hemp has been involved with the Mid-American Organic Association conference?
Yes.
Okay, and is this a virtual conference, or is this an in-person conference?
Well, and that's what's really cool. We have a lot of people that want to go to our conference. And a lot of the folks on the organic side, we have a large Amish and Mennonite community, and it raises turkeys and chickens and organic stuff. And they use our conference as a way to come together and network for the year.
Oh, okay.
So we've had a big push on trying to do something both in person and virtual. So we have both the in virtual, the virtual and the in-person portion. So we've got a system set up where you can come in and you can actually go talk to your folks and you can do all the things, but it is all also virtually. And so if you can go on our agenda and just, let's just say you want to listen to the program on the commercial ag portion, or if you want to listen to organic livestock, or if you want to listen to the hemp. So you can go online and you can actually just, you know, spend the time, that hour and a half, 2 hours virtually on that subject, or you can take in the whole conference virtually, or you can actually show up physically for either day one, two, or three. So we made our event much more flexible with all types of opportunities to be able to get the message out and get the education out to our growers and to our members.
Well, and COVID or not, it's great for folks that cannot make the trip to be able to get these conferences online, that sort of thing. But isn't it great, Bill, that we're finally at a time now where we can actually see each other in person? I mean, that's a very nice thing to even think about right now.
Well, you know, our agriculture and all of our social activities we do, I mean, people need people.
Sure,
and
sure.
Whether it's going out with your friends or, you know, going to your grandmother in the rest home, or, you know, just our normal way of life has been so disrupted, and people are so longing to get back to something that would be just resemble being normal.
Well, and again, education is so important. We hit that every week here on the podcast, education in the hemp industry, a very important thing. And it's really important to be able to get a hands-on feel for a lot of these folks. And again, a lot of folks cannot make a trip because of just the fact that there's a distance or they don't have the time. So that's great to be able to go virtual. Let's drill down here a little bit. We've got two or three different things going on here. We've got the Show Me Hemp Conference at the Mid-American Organic Association Conference. This is a three-day event, March 1st through 3rd. Where do folks go to get information on this, and can they still go live and actually go in person? To are there tickets available? How do they get them, and all that pertinent information, Bill?
Yeah, no, you can go on, and what I'd suggest is just go to moaconference.com. Just go to the MOA page, and it'll take you to the whole conference and all the days and all the things you can do, all the different packages. The one cool thing we've got is we've got a breakfast where anybody that's interested in the associations, and we're setting up chapters. So we're setting up more chapters all around the state. So you can come to that, and you can come to that for like $12, or you can go to the reception. So you can do some really cool things, come and go, or you can take the three-day. I think the three-day is like $200-some, or it's $110 a day. Or you can just get online, and the online virtual ticket is like $35.
Okay.
And so all of those things are available to you if you want to participate in just almost any way. Now, we'll tell you one thing that's really important this year. We focused on bringing communications and networking together. So a lot of the people that are coming this year are people, especially on the hemp side, but even on the organic side. So our industry and our conference is focused on bringing buyers, people that want to buy the products from our growers. Basically, this year, it is about education, but it really is about networking and getting buyers used to quality growers, meeting growers that have went through educational seminars. We've looked at working with Lincoln University, with SLU University, and we do a little bit with MU University here. So we work with a lot of the universities as third-party testers to be able to I want to, I guess, make sure that our data is verified and certified properly, so you know, a consumer will feel comfortable with whatever we're telling them is as close to the gospel as we can get it.
So by going to the Show Me Hemp Conference next weekend, you could literally set up your entire year with your vendors.
Absolutely. You know, we have people here that sell products. But most of, I think, our emphasis this year was on folks coming to the conference that was interested in actually meeting a grower or a group of growers, mm-hmm. and getting them in a position where they can buy products from them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever dealt much with the organic industry, most of our products are grown on very small acres, especially our vegetables and our produce and even the livestock.
Do they normally, the organic growers, do they normally already have a buyer for their product?
Some do, some don't.
Okay.
You know, you have a little bit of yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the smaller growers, you know, they have relationships directly with local farmer markets. You know, there's a big farmer market that's really been fantastic. A lot of enthusiasm in Columbia, Missouri. And they're very interested in the quality of food. And, you know, we've got some of the same things in Kansas City. We got some of the same things in St. Louis.
Sure.
But I think the most progressive one that I've been to recently is the one down in Columbia.
Hmm.
And they're a very young bunch of progressive people that are very concerned about where their food comes from, and they want relationships with those growers. But that's where most of our growers go right now. There are some stores and there are some food hubs that do want organic crops and organic produce and organic meat or even range-free,
mm-hmm.
or something that doesn't have a lot of, it's raised a certain way. And I don't want to be negative here on anything, because we're all here trying to supply the food system.
Right.
And, you know, this country's done a great job of feeding our consumers at a really low price. And so, you know, we've got some controversy out there of what kind of food you want to eat, but that is, you know, that's just normal.
You've got people that'll live on a fast food diet, and you've got folks that are very particular about what they'll put into their body. So of course you've got people from all different facets that take that into consideration. And again, we're speaking with Bill Cook. Bill is the president of Missouri Organic Association. He also founded Nico Seed Farms with his wife Emily in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. Bill, is there anything else that we need to hit on here? You've given us some great information about what's going on in Missouri right now. Is there anything else we need to hit on that we haven't touched on today?
Well, I don't think there's anything big that we need to touch base on, other than just know that I think we're reaching a new opportunity in our country. We're reaching opportunities that our cities and our rural communities can play a part in. And I've traveled for about 4 or 5 years to South Africa and Vietnam and all over, and I will tell this audience, the best place in the world to live is the great United States of America.
There you go. I would second that.
And all we've got to do, my granddad said one thing, and I really believe what he says more as I got older, and he said, you know, when you think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, it's time to fertilize your yard.
Do something about it.
Amen.
There we go. Well, I'm one of those folks that I've never owned a passport, and I probably never will. And I'm just going to, but it's great to hear from folks like you that have been outside the borders and can come back and say, yeah, just stay here. And I'm sure it's great to visit, of course, but I'm just one of those that there's so much to see in the United States. I really have no reason to go anywhere else. But again, that's just my way of thinking. But Bill, again, you've been a great wealth of information for us, and I'm glad we were able to reach out and get you on the program. And that's what we're trying to do here on the Midwest Hemp Council podcast, is hear from the folks all over the Midwest that make hemp happen. And you're certainly one of those folks. So we hope to get you back on the program and keep some updates happening on what's going on there in Missouri.
Well, I appreciate being on, and I thank you very much. And many blessings on you and your audience.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for your time, and that is going to do it for our show this week. This week's podcast is brought to you by Show Me Hemp and One Voice for Ag. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council weekly podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and we'll see you next time. So long, everybody. Buddy.